From the Firebird Radio Studio, it's the Authors on Fire podcast with nationally syndicated radio host and producer, Pat Rulo.
Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, our newest book song, where we create a unique one-of-a-kind song just for your book, and this podcast, Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rulo, and today I am joined by Dr. Tony Nader, a Harvard-trained physician, neuroscientist, and global leader in the field of consciousness and human development. His new book, The Power of Caring, explores a simple but profound question. Why do we care? And how can conscious caring create a more fulfilling and connected life? Those are big questions. Welcome to the Authors on Fire, Tony.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. A joy to be with you.
And you as well. You as well. I love this topic. Now, I noticed that you have authored other books before this one. So I was wondering, was there a particular story or an insight or maybe an experience that inspired you to write this book at this moment in your career?
Yes, it is to highlight the value of conscious caring, because caring is wired in us. And I see that many people have cared very, very warmly and deeply, but they get overwhelmed, burned out. And some other people have been hurt and they retreated from caring. And the world is going through all kinds of questions. And whenever I have discussions with people who have faced difficulties in their life here and there, sometimes they wonder, you know, does the universe care? Is there anyone who cares? What is it that's happening to me? Why there is injustice? Why this happens? And so the whole field of caring or not caring requires some attention. And so through my training and my study with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi and the ancient knowledge of consciousness, I've come to appreciate techniques and ways that help us care in a sustainable way, in a better way. So the question is not to make people care more or less, but to learn how to care better. And there are ways to do that.
You know, as you were speaking, I was just thinking, are we all wired to care? Is that just some part of the human experience? But then we become jaded and shaded and hurt, and then we turn that off?
We are wired to care at different levels. You know, when we say I care about something, it means I care to see it happen or I care to do it. And so there is a spectrum of caring. Mm. We care to breathe, we care to eat, we care to sleep, we care to be happy. We care to see others happy. We care to see our universe at peace and our people, our society, etc. So wiring has happened in us, in evolution, we can say, or part of nature's design, because as we care about each other, we are stronger. Human species has evolved to overcome very tough conditions and other species that are much more powerful and stronger. And this evolution has favored this species because it has favored those who care. Because when we care about each other, we become bigger, we become more capable of achieving things that one person cannot achieve. And that's why when you care, any caring, any little caring, it releases hormones and transmitters in the nervous system that encourage and support this caring process. For example, oxytocin, which is a bonding hormone, mm-hmm. is increased when you care about somebody. Dopamine, which is a reinforcement for good action and for wanting for pleasure and joy, gets also secreted. So there is a basic physiological level of caring. However, when we are stressed and strained and we have situations that are complicated, all of this gets mixed up and our biological intuitive caring can become unsustainable. And so this instinctive caring is good, it's basic, But that's not what we are necessarily having to depend on in order to care in a sustainable way.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned conscious caring. Explain that.
Conscious caring, you know, we could take it in terms of different aspects that have been promoted about caring. For example, empathy mm-hmm. or compassion or just simple caring. And caring based on moral obligation, or I have to do the thing that a good person can do and I've learned how to do it, or, you know, even instinctive caring. So empathy is something also wired in us. If we see somebody suffering, there are mirror neurons in the brain that actually get activated in the same way the other person is actually suffering, and it gets us tired. So empathy is a feeling which is good, a good start. It's what's wired in us. Then you have compassion. I would say that empathy is feeling and compassion is feeling and seeing, actually seeing and experiencing on a higher consciousness level. Caring consciously is seeing, is feeling, seeing, and acting in a way that is in tune with the situations and in tune with one's capacity to act. Because oftentimes people act reflexly and that can overwhelm them, or they act based on moral obligation and it becomes like performance. They have to do it and all of that. And also the trouble comes there because it's a sense of, can I do it? Should I do it? And there is a complication. And what is mind to care is an important part of conscious caring. So I have to assess what is mind to care today and what is my capacity to care and what is requested or what is needed that I can attend to consciously rather than reflexly or on pure, you know, obligation performance level. And there are techniques for that, such as, for example, transcendental meditation, which relaxes the nervous system, opens up the awareness, broadens the vision and comprehension, and then we are acting even spontaneously in a more holistic way, in a more sustainable way.
Wow, there's a lot to unpack there. Obviously, we need to have everyone read your book. And one of the promises of the book is learning how to care without burning out, which is, you know, what you mentioned in talking about one's capacity. Is there any misconception that people have about caring that can actually contribute to their exhaustion?
Yes, the misconception is usually between mind and body, which means you think there is an ideal and you have to do it, and you ignore the fact that your body has a limit of how much it can attend to what your mind on a theoretical basis is trying to tell you to do. And this is particularly acute when one is stressed or strained or not settled within themselves. Then they start to feel obligation and, you know, then they get overextended. And there are many things that people do that are, you know, under the umbrella of caring, but they are not sustainable. Some people, they care for releasing their anxiety about the other person. Care then becomes control of the other person. Mm-hmm. Or they extend themselves to do things which they should have let the others do and learn to do. Allow the people to sometimes make mistakes. Allow the people to live their life. Allow their children or people you care about to get the experience of life. And this is on the basis of a more comprehensive understanding of what life is about, what's the purpose of living, and how can one really take care of oneself and take care of others. The other misconception is that caring for oneself is selfish. And that is very wrong, because you have to care for yourself in order to be able to care for others. If you are depleted, then your care is depleting and is incomplete and can create situations which are not so helpful.
Yes, I think when we think of caring, we think about caring for others. And again, as we're going through this conversation, I think about being a caregiver, actually taking care of someone who needs health care. And I've been through that three times. And the most traumatic one was with my mom and 4 months in the hospital. And I was there 24/7 caring because I truly cared. And I woke up one morning into the fourth month and my body just shut down. I could not get out of bed. I couldn't even move and actually had to go to the hospital myself. Just because the caring level just was so extreme that my body couldn't take it anymore. So talk a bit about that, because I know so many people care for others in their families, in a healthcare situations.
Yeah, that's the important part of caring sustainably, caring wisely, caring so that caring can fill the whole arc of life and support oneself and others in the best possible way. We have seen this, and maybe in my underlying the background of why I wrote the book is that after COVID or during COVID, we have seen so many caretakers in hospitals, you know, nurses, doctors, staff, who themselves, you know, started to have insomnia, then depression, then anxiety, and the rate of suicide climbed a lot. And so what we presented to them is simple technique of transcending, very easy to learn. In a few days, you learn it and you master it and you do it for yourself. And we have done research on that, and it has shown that they kind of recover, they sleep better, they have more ability to help and to support others. So we have to know in a way that is both mentally, morally, physiologically conscious about our capacity and not feel the sense of moral obligation and guilt, etc. Because you can only give what you have. You know, if you have happiness, you can give happiness. If you have strengths, you can give strengths. So in order to care in the best possible way, you have to be the best yourself, the best possible yourself that you can be. And therefore, taking time off, finding people to replace you, you know, if you're taking care of an elderly parent, don't feel anxiety and guilt that you are stepping away to take some rest, even a little vacation, you know, listen to music, even go to the beach, and you can say, oh my God, here I am trying to enjoy myself and my parent is suffering and like that. Then when you come back, you'll give them so much more. And so there is a difference between self-care and selfishness, and also between boundaries and walls. You know, I describe in the book that one has to put boundaries. And I get often asked, oh, what is boundary? Is it a wall? It's not a wall. It's a boundary that allows me to see how far I've gone so that I can keep going further and further in a sustainable way.
Easier said than done, but again, it's something that if you think about it ahead of time and prepare for it, and again, reading your book would give people kind of a heads up or a leg up on this so that they kind of know what it's all about and what to expect. And you talk about boundaries. And earlier you talked about controlling outcomes. That's interesting. How can we tell the difference between genuine caring and trying to control the outcomes of other people?
Genuine conscious care is fulfilling. You know, it releases those hormones, it releases those neurotransmitters. You usually feel good, you feel uplifted, you feel sustained. Controlling care is more attached to anxiety. You're anxious for the results. You want a specific result and you're trying to attain it. And if that result doesn't come up, you kind of feel disappointed or strained and stressed. So by seeing what is your caring bringing and what is its basis in terms of how you feel in what you're doing, you can have a hint about, you know, controlling or conscious caring in a way that is helpful to both the giver and the receiver.
And we're talking basically right now about self-care for ourselves and maybe caring for one or two other people. But your book moves beyond personal relationships and looks at society as a whole. How might conscious caring influence the future of our, say, communities or our workplaces or even globally?
You know, in psychology, there is something called behavioral contagion. And where even small acts of kindness, of care, they ripple. And this has been scientifically proven that if you are nice to somebody, they're likely to be nice to the next person, and the next person is likely to be nice to the other. So there is a ripple effect, which is very important. And I say this because people think to take care of the whole society is a big, huge burden and unachievable. So I want to highlight that small acts of care are also very important, and they can have a tremendous ripple effect. You know, we have known in history, people started planting trees somewhere. Everybody heard about it. They started to plant trees everywhere. People started to clean rivers somewhere, and they known about it. And rivers have been cleaned everywhere. You know, something like that, you know, there are different things like that. And on the consciousness level, because in the book, I present a paradigm of worldview that shows that consciousness is primary, and that all of us are part of that field of awareness, of consciousness. And we have scientific research on when people actually practice transcendental meditation together or in larger groups, there have been shown effects on reduction in crime in society, reduction in hospital admission, in accidents of the road. And this has been repeated like through 116 different studies. So it has been documented. So the effect of conscious caring and caring properly from the right platform in a settled inner being can itself have a great effect on society. But it starts with the self. It starts with caring for oneself, being oneself, authentic, being rested. And then the care develops and grows through your immediate loved ones, and then gradually. And you can even have an influence on the entire society.
Yes, it starts small. You know, I noticed that in my work, it almost seems these days that people are starving for kindness. I don't necessarily think I'm going out of my way sometimes sending an email and just saying something kind, like you're the best, or, you know, you rock or something like that. And you'll get a response from them that tells you that you just kind of blew their mind by saying that. And they thank you profusely. And here I'm thinking it's just a couple of words. So yeah, it's not that difficult to show care to others, and that it could change their day. And then hopefully they turn around and express themselves to others in the same way.
Exactly. And there is another side to it, which is very, very important. And that is the care itself, the act of care itself, is something good you do to yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, we know now the upcoming generation or the younger generation, they're suffering from loneliness and solitude. You hear about this, and there is, you know, all these expressions, tsunami of mental health, etc., and isolation and solitude. And when you care, you expand yourself, because caring means connecting to the other. And when you connect to the other from a deep level of being, you are expanding yourself. And by expanding oneself, one is happier, one feels bigger, one feels is growing in one's own consciousness, in one's own awareness, in one's own collective feeling. And so although, okay, this is a great thing to do, to care for others, but we should know that it is also a self-help to care. And so the book gives all of these pointers and, you know, asks questions in every chapter, reset points, reflection questions, takeaway points, so that the chapter is digested and seen from its full perspective, where our own benefit is you know, giver of care is sometimes bigger than the receiver.
So true. Yes, if you stop and pay attention, you realize how good you feel after you've just cared for someone, even in the smallest way. So I hope people take that little tidbit away and try to integrate that within their lives. You talked about transcendental meditation a few times. How has your experience with meditation influenced your understanding of caring and human connection?
It made me a better person personally, and who is able to care. And you know, it's so much has given me so much personally: well-being, happiness, health, and peace and harmony under very complex situations as a doctor, emergency room, and tough situations that one can go through in one's life. Even I've been in a civil war and all these kinds of things. And yet I have been able to maintain that inner stability that allows me to care from a platform of inner strengths that I can share with others. And it's such a simple technique. You know, you learn it in 3-4 days, 1.5 hours per day, and then you do it on your own. It's not a difficult technique. And it creates what we call restful alertness. You know, there are many things that are happening today in terms of meditation, and many bring very good rest and stress release. But in this case, I feel it actually elevates your awareness, broadens your comprehension, makes you more connected, more fulfilled in life. Because I often say that what people really are looking for is to be more, not to have more. Maybe to have more can help us feel that we are more, which is fine. There is no problem with having more. But that's not what we are really looking for. What we are looking for, every one of us, every human being, is to be more, to be more. How we are more? When we expand our little ego, little self, and see it embrace a larger part of life. And that grows. You can embrace your friends, your children, your family, your society, your nation, the environment, the world. And if you really do it from a deep level of awareness and consciousness, it's the most fulfilling thing one can do.
I love that. To help others be more, because that's basically the heart of, as you say, that's the heart of what we all want. We might think we want more, but that intrinsic feeling of being more and the fact that we can help somebody else feel like they are being more. I love this.
Beautiful.
I love this. Yeah, this is a kind of a takeaway, I think. Wow. As far as learning transcendental meditation, where would you suggest people go to learn? Is it something they could read about or online? Where would you suggest?
It is taught in person, but there are, we have an app also for follow-up, but usually has been taught in person. Mm-hmm. And the first, you know, instruction and guidance has to be done in person, personal contact. And you can go to tm.org, and then you say where you are in the world, not just the United States, anywhere, and you can find the teacher. We are all over the world in 150 countries and all the major cities, and the teachers are delighted to teach. And within a few days, one has it and owns it, and it's not any more dependent on, you know, constant follow-up, although we encourage people to come for follow-up and checking, making sure they're doing correctly. Mm-hmm. But even children from the age of 5, they can learn it. And it doesn't depend on any philosophy or way of life or, you know, belief or anything. It's a technique, mental technique for well-being, health, and happiness and fulfillment.
All right. I'm heading over to tm.org, and I hope everyone else does as well.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I will. I will. For someone listening today who feels disconnected or discouraged or simply worn out, is there any practical reset, let's say, that they can begin using immediately?
Find a transcendental meditation teacher.
Okay.
But they can settle down, you know, close the eyes, sit quietly, relax your shoulders, take a few deep breaths, and know that life is bliss in its essence, its fulfillment. And the only reason why one feels disconnected is because one is not disconnected from the others. It's because one is disconnected from oneself, one's inner self, one's inner being. And what to do for that is to transcend. To transcend means to go beyond. So imagine the mind is like an ocean. It has waves on its surface, and you are living on the surface wave. And you feel all the other waves are different. They might even push you around. They might, you know, threaten you. You feel disconnected. But if you dive within your mind and you find you are the ocean and that all the waves are the expression of the same intelligence, the same consciousness, then you feel at home everywhere. And all this disconnected feeling is spontaneously lost. Not on an intellectual level, but on an experiential level. Intellectual level also, because one has to understand what is happening. But on the level of direct experience, the feeling of isolation goes because one is grounded in the field of consciousness, which is all permeating.
What a message for our times. So after all of your years of studying medicine and neuroscience and consciousness and human development, what does a meaningful or what does a fulfilling life mean to you today?
A fulfilling life, you know, I can use a word which needs explanation, but it has been around enlightenment, which means reaching higher states of consciousness by knowing ultimately that you are everything. We are all looking for more and more, but we look for more and more in the outside, in the outside. This is where the having takes the highest value. But if you go by inward and discover who you truly are and know and be established in that anchor of the self in the ocean of being, then this is a life well lived, a life of fulfillment. And that's easy to do. That's the thing. You know, all philosophers throughout time, even religious leaders, spiritual leaders, know thyself. Know thyself is the greatest wisdom. Mm-hmm. And so turning back onto the self, transcending the surface value, but not, of course, getting indifferent about it, because when you practice, you transcend. But when you come out, you are full of energy to act and to produce things and to do things and to care and all of that. But it has to be grounded in that field of being, which is the true inner self. So know thyself doesn't only mean know your qualities and your difficulties and what you can do and not, which are fine. But know thyself is know that you truly are this very deep inner aspect of life, inner being. And there is really the source of fulfillment and happiness.
Excellent. And all of this is covered in your book, The Power of Caring: Who Cares, Why It Matters, and How Conscious Caring Creates a Fulfilling and Connected Life. And everybody wants that. Everybody wants to create a fulfilling and a connected life. So, and I think about how many times people just says, who cares? You know, people say that all the time. There's so much behind that. So I think your book is powerful. And I think the messages that you've given us today really gives me a lot to think about. I want to make sure as we begin to wrap up that I'm not missing anything, or there was something that perhaps you wanted to highlight that we didn't bring up.
I think you're amazing. You covered, you know, the whole topic in a short time. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh, it's my pleasure. Where can folks go then to find out more about you and get copies of your book?
I have a website, drtonynader.com, drtonynader.com. And the book is available in all vendors of books on the internet or different. It'll be actually released in July. Or the easiest way is thepowerofcaringbook.com, thepowerofcaringbook.com.
Okay. All right. So we have the Power of Caring book.com. We have drtoninader.com. We're going to head over to tm.org. We've got lots of homework, folks, for you. So thank you so much for sharing your insights and your wisdom today. Your book reminds us that, I don't know, caring isn't just something we do. It's something that shapes who we are and how we connect with the world. And I wish you continued success with the Power of Caring, with the work that you do. And thank you. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks to you. Wonderful. Amazing. Take care.